Hope is confident expectancy in the fulfillment of the promises of God. Advent is preparing and waiting for Jesus to fully establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. We are meant to grow. Margaret Silf writes, "When I was a little girl, my mother always seemed to buy me clothes that were too big for me on the basis that I would soon grow into them. When my own baby was born, I also bought clothes a few sizes beyond newborn because I knew that she would only need that size for a few short weeks. I'm beginning to understand now that God's dream for us and for creation works on the same principle. The life, the love, and dreams that come from God are always a few sizes too big for us. We can choose to put them away in a drawer labeled impossible dreams or just idealistic thinking, or we can choose to grow into them. God knows we can, just as a mother knows her baby can and will grow into those bigger clothes. And Jesus shows us what it looks like when humanity grows into God's dream. The Apostle Paul gives thanks for the ways we see God growing each other and the world. Paul celebrates our growth in God's dream for us, for God is strengthening and enriching us. The Holy Spirit is within us, revealing Jesus. God is nurturing us to be blameless, perfect, holy, so we can enjoy fellowship with God and each other. Paul writes, don't get it back there.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in Jesus in speech and knowledge for every kind, just as the testimony of Jesus has been strengthened among you so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will also strengthen you to the end so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By God you are called into the fellowship of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The psalmist hopefully sings of our growth.
Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You are enthroned upon the cherubim. Shine forth from Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you may be strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
Our scripture from the prophet Isaiah and Mark also tell of us of growing into God's glorious promises for us. Our hope and growth is woven with the struggles of our life and the heartbreak of the world. All of this is proclaimed in apocalyptic style, which is loaded with multiple layers of symbolism. Apocalyptic scripture is extremely difficult to interpret and understand. Perhaps these scriptures will resonate with you as you joyfully anticipate the wonder of Christmas, confident, hoping, yet are tired, struggling, and hurting from the stress, anxiety, fear, and hate of our fallen lives and world. These scriptures tell us of the growing pains as we and the cosmos grow out of our sinful mess into our majestic eternal life. The prophet Isaiah proclaims, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for you. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are your people. We begin Advent like the prophet Isaiah, admitting that the world is a mess. Our lives are a mess. Each of us has made plenty of mistakes, sinned in numerous ways, made poor choices, and have failed to give and receive love. Our fallen world is crowded with all sorts of tragedy, suffering, and death. In the beginning, we were handcrafted beautiful from clay. Today is the interim. We are cracked, broken, and deteriorating. Yet we will grow. God will take us and our clay vessels, that is what we call our bodies, and re-sculpt us into eternal perfection. Suzanne Metz writes, Father, we are the clay, you are the potter, we are the work of your hand. The image is beautiful, evoking a picture of a potter holding the clay, molding it with hands, staining the colors of the earth, imagining what beautiful artifact will emerge from the pliable elements of earth and water. It would be nice just to lift this verse out of today's reading, linger on its beauty, and forget the rest. That would be a dangerous thing to do in any case, but today is the beginning of Advent, giving our meditation on the readings an additional focus. In years past, the lectionary directed us to consider four last things: death, judgment, hell, and ultimately heaven during the weeks of Advent. Most likely then, this week would take on death. Not quite what we first imagine when we hear, Father, we are the work of your hand. We must look at the rest of the passage. The prophet begins by asking God to come down and make the mountains quake and cause nations to tremble before God. Isaiah says, no one calls on your name or attempts to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. That sounds like death. It is little deaths in the midst of our earthly life. The prophet reminds us, too, that God did indeed come down and make earth tremble and did awesome things that we did not expect. And yet, even with these images right before our eyes, we continue to sin. And that sin, cutting off our relationship with God, is, again, another form of death. Death here and now, in the midst of our living. And yet, the prophet begs for mercy for his people and for us. Remember, Father, we are still the work of your hands. You are the potter, and we are the clay. Look on us and remember. And of course, God does. The Father remains with us, waiting for us to acknowledge God's presence. That's what Advent is about. We need to take another look at the potter and the clay. Yes, it's a creativity that forms something of beauty, but the process itself, life, can be difficult. Kneading the heavy clay is hard work. It is pushed, pounded, sometimes mashed together to be started anew. A sort of death in the midst of life. That pictures life for us. Does God do all the pounding? No, human nature does some, life itself does some, we do some to ourselves, and that's okay. It's all God's work in us, and if we're willing, it draws us closer to God, who can make mountains and nations tremble, to the God who does awesome things we can never even expect. The clay is eventually fired and takes on new strength. The artistry is beautiful. Its beauty often opens up the minds and souls of others who take it in their hands, feel its power, and then desire to create loveliness of their own. Advent is a time to consider that kind of power and strength, the incarnation of God becoming human out of love, in hopes that God's people would realize that they have been created by the master potter in God's own image and likeness. The potter's creation, the fire, the uncovering of the glorious colors, the strength of a vessel that will be put to good use, all facilitating the power to proclaim the good news and walk with our creating God. The very thought should be exhilarating. Death in Advent only when it leads to glorious renewed life. Our next scripture has been used over and over again to predict the end of the world. The signs have been interpreted in all sorts of crazy ways. Books and movies enjoy a lot of sales based on expanding and twisting these symbolisms. As you hear Jesus' words, connect your frustrations, struggle, sin, and heartache to the symbolism. Listen for the promise of God, the hope, the Advent. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then God will send out the angels and gather God's elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that God is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else God may find you asleep when Jesus comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This scripture is part of Jesus' answer to disciples regarding the destruction of the temple and the fulfillment of the kingdom of heaven on earth. The disciples were filled with joy as they enjoyed Jesus' love, as Jesus healed diseases, fed thousands, and calmed storms. They were getting a glimpse of the glory that they were growing into. In wonder and awe, they admired the temple, the most magnificent human-made structure on earth at that time. The temple was a symbol of God's presence. The temple was built to inspire one's dreams of what it is like to live in God's spectacular mansion for eternity. As the disciples were dreaming about their growth, Jesus shocked them by saying, "The temple will be destroyed." Shocked, the disciples asked, "When will this happen?" You just heard part of Jesus' answer. Jesus told them about their growing pains, our growing pains. When Jesus was crucified, the sun was darkened. The disciples did suffer. They experienced dark moments, moments when it felt like the stars were falling. The temple was destroyed. Jesus told the disciples, "Plenty of difficult moments are in your future. Then after that is glorious resurrection. Each generation, each person, you will endure your own suffering, your own version of the stars falling and darkness, until Jesus carries you home to heaven." All of us are to keep awake, to have hope, to keep growing, to keep believing that the best is yet to come, to know that ultimately God's love will prevail and re-sculpt all into eternal majesty. today's scriptures seek to connect with our frustration, with our life and world, to connect with our suffering and struggles, to connect with those moments when it seems that all is dark and the stars in our life are falling. Our scripture invites us to join with those who throughout the ages have cried out against all that is wrong, who protest against the darkness. We are invited to dream of our own growth and to dream about how the world will be made whole. We are invited to dream of our future when love is fully enjoyed, permeating all. Advent is living in the now and the not yet. Advent is persevering, knowing that Christ in the kingdom of heaven is coming. We are to keep awake, imagining what God has created for us to grow into, to imagine God's delight as we grow, to be thankful for the ways God is helping us grow. Scott Caldwell writes about Jesus' words, "It is not the end of the world God loves, rather an end to every version of the world God loves that doesn't do justice to God's compassionate and gracious dream for the world." Our scripture urges us to keep awake, to have hope, for God will put all things right. Even when the present is unbearable, keep awake, for God will deliver you into God's wonderful plan for you. God determines the future, how we will live for eternity, what we will grow into. Whatever imprisons you and your world, keep awake, for you will be set free. God is ultimate. God will prevail. Not our sin, not our brokenness, not our darkness, not our fallen stars. Peace, love, joy will endure forever. The sign of this today is the very struggle between good and evil, love and hate. It is the growing pains of Jesus bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth and displacing the powers, the principalities, and forces that diminish life, joy, and love. Scott Caldwell writes, "From the fig tree, learn its lesson. Here are unmistakable signs of a new way of life, a new version of ultimate reality unleashed into the human imagination, and the mark of Christ risen and his spiritual reality among us becomes a kind of dye marker that spreads and threads throughout unfolding history. A world under new management, the end of a world that distorts and dehumanizes the order of things in favor of a new heaven and a new earth into which you and I are called in baptism and are participants and witnesses. The blooming of a fig tree is a sign of spring, warmth, lush green, vibrant colors, and ripening, delicious fruit to come." John Piper said, "All our heroes are shadows of Christ." However you are experiencing healing, love, joy, growth, these are merely the first signs, the shadows of the grandeur that is coming. Even though Jesus has come, there is still trouble in the world. Our troubles may grow worse. We are to keep awake, to never give up, to never give in to despair or become distracted. Life will likely remain difficult. We are sustained by our trust that God will prevail. In time, our turmoil will yield exuberant, joyful love for eternity. Advent is an anticipation of God's transformation. Advent is celebrating the coming glorious consummation of the cosmos. Advent is waiting, expecting our growth and the growth of the entire cosmos. We will all grow into the glory that God has already purchased for us. Amen.